Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Then Jesus went thence. This is Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried in him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You may be seated. Mega faith. What's it take to get mega faith? Great faith. Jesus used the term great faith sparingly, exactly two times. Only twice in 33 and a half years did Jesus say to people, you have great faith. That's astounding. Let me show you something more astounding than that. Not one time did he say to a Jewish person, you have great faith. Both of the people that he said you have great faith were Gentile people. That is absolutely amazing. Now, why would he say you have great faith to the Gentile people, two of them, and to the disciples, what would he say? He said, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. It was actually a term of rebuke to them, a term of praise to the Gentiles, but to his disciples a term of rebuke. It was what he expected of his disciples because of where they came from and their background. So let me hasten to tell you today that it doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter how anemic you are in spiritual background. It doesn't matter if you come from a family that knew nothing about Christianity, you are a candidate to have mega faith. It's up to you. It's not where you start from, it's where you decide you're going to be in your destiny. And so he says, I want you to see this evolution. He gives us this story. Remember, the Bible said it's given to you for your example. This is a faith lesson given by Jesus Christ that we will understand what great faith is and how we are to obtain that great faith. I just punched that. I gave myself 20 minutes right now. And so he wants us to have great faith, but he wants us to understand that there is an evolution that takes place from this little Syrophoenician woman, this little Gentile woman. Jesus has just come where he's been talking to Jews, and they have been ignoring him, and they have not been receiving him. He's come to his own has received him not. He actually comes to this place so he can get away from them because he has been so disillusioned by them not receiving the message that he's bringing to them, and he goes to rest, and this little Syrophoenician woman accosts him. She comes out and begins to talk to him. His disciples understood that this was not a stop on their journey. This was not a stop on their ministry. They said, send her away. She is a nuisance. But Jesus began to listen to her. You got to know something about this woman. This woman was not a Christian. This woman was not an Israelite. She was not a believer in Jehovah God. She was actually an idolater. She worshipped a god called Astarte. I might not be pronouncing that correctly because I've only seen it in print. And I was going to actually go and figure out the right print. And then I thought, what does it matter? It's a false god anyway. So I'm calling him Astarte. A-S-T-A-R-T-E. If that's not right, we don't care. because no knee's going to bow to that and no tongue's going to confess to that, and it's not going to matter 100 years from now. But she was a follower of Astarte, which was a god of the Babylonians. It was a god of the Hittites. And she was a follower of him and had been all of her life. The word Astarte literally means a baby's name for goddess of love. And so this was supposed to be the goddess of love. There's a lot of people today that would give you the idea that they're people of faith, but they want to talk about love, but it's not real love. It's what the Bible would call feigned love or pseudo love. And you can see that very quickly when it's ripped away, that it's not really true love. So we can conclude at this point that this woman has now become utterly dissatisfied with Astarte. Her idol has failed her. She's prayed. He's not answered one time. She's ready to quit her church. She's looking for a new church. She's looking for a new faith. And somehow she's heard the message. What you believe makes a difference. She's heard the message of what Christ has done. He's healed the sick. He's raising the dead. He's causing the dumb to speak and the deaf to hear. And this woman said, Astarte is a fraud. He's not done a thing for me. I'm ready to lay it down on the altar. This is important to know. This is important to know that you have to lay down those things that are not working. You can't take Christianity and mix it with something else. Christianity mixed is not Christianity at all. Jesus Christ put in a group is not Jesus at all. He has to be the lone Savior. He has to be the only God. And so let's talk about the number one thing if you're going to have to have great faith. The focus of great mega faith. She refocused her life at that moment. Remember, this is not an addition, but this is a change of gods. When we see this very first element of great faith, I'm going to give you several others, but the first one is that great mega faith is properly directing your faith. It does matter. Not just, we don't believe in just faith for faith's sake. It's faith in what? It's faith in the one true God. It's faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. You have to divorce your thought from everything else. The Bible said he alone is God. There is none beside him. He refuses to share your affection. You have to make him the Lord of your life. When you hear people talking about faith, and people say, oh, I have a lot of faith. I'm a believer. A lot of times that's just a smokescreen. It's not true at all. Sometimes I think of that song. You've heard it. I believe for every drop of rain. I started to sing it. You don't want to do that. I believe for every drop of rain, a flower grows. You've heard that song? Oh, I believe that somewhere in the great somewhere, there is someone who hears every prayer. I believe in the darkest night a candle glows. You know what that is? That's sheer stupidity. Just somewhere out there, they're not focusing on anything. You have got to focus your affection. There's a reason why the Bible said every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. It is Jesus is Lord of all. When Paul preached at Mars Hill to the Athenians, what did he say? He said, I see you've got lots of altars, but those altars mean absolutely nothing. You've got them all named to the false Greek gods. But he said, there is one altar that says to the unknown God. He said, that unknown God is the one that I want to talk about. And the Bible said, Paul preached unto them Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to become a person of mega faith, you've got to realize it's all in Jesus Christ. He is the only image of the invisible God. He's the only one that came from heaven to save you. He's the only one that died for your sins. He's the only one that got out of the grave. He's the only one that nailed all sins and ordinances to the cross for you. Praise God. His name is Jesus. It's the only name that the angels recognize. It's the only name that God recognizes. It's the only name the church recognizes. But just as importantly, it is the only name the devil recognizes. He said, Jesus, I know, but who are you? It's the only name that the devil is afraid of. Here was a woman. You know what her need was? She had a little demon-possessed girl. And when you look at the Greek word, the girl there, or daughter, for the Greek word for daughter there, it means a small girl or small child. It wasn't a grown daughter. It was just a little girl she had. And so she comes, and now she's focusing, and she recognizes that it's not Atari, it is Jesus Christ that is Lord. She has changed her affection. She's changed her allegiance. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be saved, you're going to change your allegiance. You can't hold on to the past. You got to turn the past loose. It's got to be in Him. You've got to look at Him. You've got to adore Him. You've got to glorify Him. Praise God. The second thing, this is an evolution of her great faith. Remember, she started as a heathen. She started as unsaved. She started as a person worshiping a false god. But we're seeing in just a few moments in the presence of God, even under the influence of the dissuasion of the apostles, this woman is being converted from a person that is literally an idolater to one of the two people in the Bible that has said, you have great faith. There's a lesson to be learned here today. Somebody in this building might have come a little anemic. You might be a little faithless. You might have gone through some trials. You might not be a big believer. But while the word goes forth, the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, while I'm preaching the word of God, it's like Jesus Christ coming and standing and speaking to you. Oh, you know what I find appalling in this verse? The Bible said in this passage, it said, and Jesus spoke not a word. Jesus didn't say anything to her. He was just silent. It's when the word doesn't have a word. This woman plunged on. There's going to be times where you don't feel like you're getting an answer. There's going to be times where you don't feel like you're getting a result. But great faith never stops. She said, I have abandoned my false God. I know who you are. She said, you are the Son of David. Suddenly this woman that was not an Israeli is in reaching out and embracing all of the Hebrew history. And she said, I'm making a change. Right now, I might have been born a Gentile. I might not know anything about Jehovah, but at this moment and this time, I'm becoming a proselytized Jew. I'm changing. You're the Son of David. There's a change happening to me. Friend, if you're going to get big results from God, you're probably going to have to change from what you've been. There's going to have to be a change in your life. You can't be a normal person and have abnormal miracles. You've got to get so out. The second thing was there was a real act of repentance happening in this woman. This woman had been in idolatry, worshiping in witchcraft, and now all of a sudden she's abandoning Astarte and she is saying, I believe Jesus, you are the Son of David. There's an element of repentance here in her great faith. Listen to this. If you were to look at 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter of the 9th verse as a comparative, Paul extols the virtue of the Thessalonica people because he said, you turn to God from idols. That's what repentance is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just a tear on your cheek. It is a turning. It is a transforming. It is a changing. If you want to be a person of great faith, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're going to have to put your allegiance in Jesus Christ. You can't look to the world. You can't look to money. You can't look to materialism. You can't look to religion. She was having an experience of repentance. There's a reason why Peter preached in Acts 4 and 12, and he said, neither is there salvation in any other among men where you may be saved through faith in His name. Acts 3:16, through faith in His name has made this man strong. This woman is going through a metamorphosis. She's being born again. She's being transformed. She's being transformed from a person of fake faith, of unreal faith, to a person of strong faith right in the presence of the disciples and of Jesus Christ. Number three, if you want to be a person of great faith, you've got to be a person that understands the doctrine of mercy. She understood this. No matter what, everything that Jesus said to her was to dissuade her. But none of that affected her, because somehow she had understood the doctrine of God's mercy. The term mercy is a very biblical term. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, the word eleo, which is the word used here, is used 500 times. 500 times God is trying to reveal His mercy to us. I don't care who you are. Some people give $40,000 or $50,000 a year to this church. Some of you write checks every week. Some of you pray incessantly. Some of you serve incessantly. All of that is because of what you are. But that's not what happened to you. What happened to you was you became a student. You became a recipient. You became an understander of the mercy of Almighty God. In some brief moment, this woman that had been an idolatry just moments before, that is begging for the deliverance of her demon-possessed daughter, has embraced the mercy of God, and she will not let go. Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. When you appeal to God's mercy, you're not restricting God to your merit, your performance, or your ability. You see, if you come and pray and ask God for a miracle, and you start saying, God, you know me, and you know what I've done, that means God's got to go back through your giving record. God's going to go back through your tithing record. God's going to go back through your love record. God's going to back through your kindness record and make sure that there's no blip on the radar of your past, that you've never failed. You've never said an unkind word. But friend, when you appeal to the mercy of God, this woman did not have one thing to base her request on. And Jesus was pointing that out to her. You're not a Jew. You're not a noble person. You're like a dog. And you would appeal to me? Yes, I will. Because I'm not appealing on my stead. I'm appealing on your mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, on my way to heaven. Not because of one thing that I do or have done. It's because of God's exceeding great mercy to me. While I was yet a sinner, He loved me. Jesus was trying to explain the methodology of salvation to her, but there's only one problem. Out of every pore of his body was eking the mercy of Almighty God. Out of every pore of his body was eking the love of Almighty God. There's just something about God that he cannot refuse. Turn down somebody that says, I plead your mercy. I plead your mercy, because you are a good and wonderful God. Mercy requires no past performance. And this woman is taking responsibility. Do you know the reason why she had a demon-possessed girl? This was a little girl, according to the Greek word for daughter. Just a small child, maybe 6-7 years of age. That's not a girl that's been promiscuous. That's not a girl that's been in the clubs. That's not a girl that's been on drugs. This girl became demon-possessed in this mother's home because of this mother's false religion. And she's taking ownership of that and responsibility. She's saying, have mercy on me. I can't say I've been a good mother. I can't say I've taught my daughter in the scripture. I can't say I've prayed with my daughter. I have nothing to offer you, but I'm telling you that I am here and I will not leave, because I am a student of your mercy. I've done a Christ course on your mercy, and I know whether you know Jesus or whether you decide disciples know, I know that when I walk away from this place, I am going to have a delivered daughter. What great faith. There ought to be some people in this building right now that say, I know I'm going to have a miracle. I don't know what your miracle is, but praise God. You don't need to talk to about your past. It's not going to be because of your goodness. It's going to be because of the goodness of Almighty God. God is in this house right now, and He's saying to somebody, throw yourself on my mercy. Don't recount your past. Don't say, maybe I've been pretty good. Just say, I know, God, I've not been a good mother, but praise God, my daughter's going to be saved. I've not been a good wife, but my husband's going to be saved. I've not been a good steward, but praise God, I'm going to get money and be blessed. I've not been a good witness, but I'm going to have household salvation because of the glory and the mercy of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Number four, the reverence of God. Great faith demands great reverence. This woman here, she recognized that she was in the presence of the Almighty, representation of God Almighty. Friend, we have to realize that my God is an omniscient God, an omnipotent God. It doesn't matter what the professor says. It doesn't matter what the newsman says. It doesn't matter what the famous people say. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all of my heart that this earth is His footstool, that God is in charge. I bow down before Him. I reverence Him. I know that He is God all by Himself. I know that He can save by little or by much. I know that He has all power. I know that He's in this building today. And even if you don't receive it, I know He could have given it to you. It's simply that we have not reached out with great faith. He is still the God that is able to still the water and calm the storm. He is still the God that heals the sick. He is still the God that breaks the shackles. I worship You. I have reverence for You. There's nothing that I take lightly in the kingdom of Almighty God. When I walk into this place, this is a holy place, and You are a holy army, and God's presence is a sovereign thing, and I can feel God in this house. And praise God, I might be like the Syrophoenician woman. I don't have a past that I can reach back and say, you can bank this. I say, I'm destitute and bankrupt, but that doesn't matter, because I throw myself on the reverence presence of Almighty God. Can you give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the fifth thing, the persistence of great mega faith. Great faith is properly targeted who God is. It's repentance, it's reverence, but also it is the persistence where you say, I just won't quit. You talk about a series of barriers thrown up to this woman. You're not in the right place. You're not at the right time. You're not in the right race. God's not sent me to you. The barriers just keep being stacked up. But she said, I will not leave, because I have great faith, and great faith says that every barrier that is erected must be brought down. Before I leave this place, Your overshadowing love, Your miraculous manifestation, Your glorious power shall leave you and go to my little demon-possessed daughter. I just will not turn loose. And I'm hurrying because I'm out of time. But the worship of great mega faith. She resisted the temptation to be bitter. What one of us would come before Christ and he'd say, I'm sorry, you're not the right race. I'm sorry, I haven't come to you. I haven't been sent to you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What one of us would stand there and he'd say, I can't give you the food. He said, take it from the people of God and give it to you, a dog. That never even slowed her shout down. That didn't abort one hallelujah. Never even fazed her. She said, yay, I'm a dog. But even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. That word dog, there's two words in the Greek for dog. There's a vicious watchdog, a mean dog. That's not the word here. The word here is a pet, like you got. Some of you got these little pet dogs that are nearly a part of your family, but they're not quite. And you sit at the table, and you hand them off of your plate food. That's what's talking about here. He said, you're just a pet. You're not the real deal. She said, no, I know what you're saying. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Bring another chair. I'm going to sit at the table before this day is over. Oh, hallelujah. God is saying that to somebody in this room. There's somebody in this room, you have been an abject failure in your life. You've tried to live for God and fallen 1,000 times. But do you understand, not because of who you are, but because of He who He is, it doesn't make any difference that God's going to reach down and snap the trouble out of your life today. That God's going to reach down and take the cancer out of your body. I pray to God you haven't said to Him, Lord, I've written you 1,000 checks. It doesn't matter. He's got all the gold and silver in the whole world. I hope you haven't tried to brag about yourself. I hope you have said, God, because of your mercy, I won't give up. And not only that, after you say that I'm a dog, I'll just lick your hand and keep worshiping you, because I don't matter what I am, it's what I'm going to become. I still came in here as a puppy, but praise God, I'm leaving here as one of the two great people of faith in the entire Bible. In fact, I'm leaving here as the only woman in the Bible that you ever commended of having great faith. You talk about a transformation. She went from nothing to everything in a split few moments. And somebody in this building today is going to do the same thing. Jump up on your feet. Oh, the pitiful people said, the reason I don't come to church, I got offended. I got hurt. Did anybody call you a dog? Did anybody say you're the wrong race? We don't want your color hair? No, you got offended because somebody didn't shake your hand, or somebody took your seat, or somebody didn't brag on your little girl. Here was a woman that should have been offended 1,000 times, and you just couldn't keep her hands out of the air. You just couldn't keep the praise off her lips. You just couldn't keep the expectation out of her voice, because she had great faith. Say what you want, but bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. And the Bible said, after all of that, she worshiped Him. And He said, as you will. Somebody said, whatever is the will of God. He said, no, whatever your is will. He said, whatever you wilt, or whatever you want, whatever you say. She said, oh, I'll tell you what I say. My little demon-possessed girl, in her fits of demon possession, laying on a cot in my house. She said, I want her to be made whole today. And while she stood in the presence of Jesus with the sneering disciples trying to shove her aside, the power of Almighty God was released from the Son of God. Praise God. It flowed to that woman. Never again would she go back to idolatry. Never again would she worship a God that couldn't hear or love a God that couldn't see. She had found the Savior of the world. She turned on her heel as she heard the words of God say, go your way, for this day thy daughter is made whole. Can you imagine? She didn't walk. She didn't shake hands. She ran as fast as she could, and she opened that door, scooped up that little girl that was demon possessed because of the woman's idolatry, and she hugged her and she cried and she danced. But I promise you, from that day forward, that woman was told, that little girl was told the story of Jesus Christ. She grew up to know that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the deliverer. It's all up to you. How much faith do you have? And somebody in this building needs a miracle right now. And the question is not how much of God is available. It's just how much faith do you have? Are you going to let some bitter incident stop you? Are you going to be just like this woman said, look, I don't care what you say or what the disciples do. Praise God, I will receive my miracle today in Jesus' name. If you're in this building, you need a miracle for your child, your family, your body.